Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 25th day of July, 2023. I am absolutely thrilled to have two returning guests to the program. One of them, judging from the response of the publicity that we've given this program beforehand, is one of our favorite guests to ever have interviewed on this show, Ken Ham, who is founder and CEO of Answers in Genesis. He will be on with us for the first 30 minutes of the program to discuss his new book, Divine Dilemma, Wrestling with the Question of a Loving God in a Fallen World. And then for the remaining 90 minutes of the program, we are going to be joined by Virgil Walker, author, executive director of operations at G3 Ministries, and co-host of the Just Thinking podcast. And he is going to be continuing that same theme of Ken's book, Divine Dilemma. And we are also going to be announcing an event where Ken Ham, as well as many other speakers, are on the roster at the 2023 G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, where I will be once again manning an exhibitor's booth, as I always do. But to continue letting our listeners know something more about Ken Ham, not only is he the founder and CEO of Answers in Genesis and its two popular attractions, the acclaimed Creation Museum and the internationally known Ark Encounter, which features a life-size 510-foot-long Noah's Ark, sometimes described as the eighth wonder of the modern world, both hosting 1.5 million guests annually. He's also a much-in-demand Christian speaker and interview guest, hosts the daily radio program Answers, now on 1,000 stations. He is the founder of the award-winning Answers Magazine and Answers TV, two-time winner of the top award from the National Religious Broadcasters for Best Website, AnswersInGenesis.org, a prolific blogger and author of more than 30 books. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Ken Ham.
Hi, Chris. Great to be with you.
It's always a thrill to have you on the program, and we look forward to many future return visits from you. Well, for those of our listeners, they must be living in a cave somewhere if they don't know about this absolutely mind-blowing Ark Encounter that you have created. Well, why don't you tell us about the Ark Encounter briefly before we move on to the subject of your book?
Sure. The Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum are actually the two leading Christian-themed attractions in the world. And so we did something that's sort of rather unique to build these attractions. The Ark is a life-sized Noah's Ark, so it's a true timber frame structure, the biggest timber frame structure in the world, actually. And it's 1.5 times the length of a football field, half the width of a football field. It's built 15 feet off the ground, stands 10 stories high at the bow, and 3.3 million board feet of timber, filled with three decks of 130 exhibits answering all sorts of questions about God's word, the Bible, the flood, post-flood, presents the gospel very clearly. We have a zoo behind it as well, and a children's zoo. We do live animal programs. We have a virtual reality ride. We have carousel. We have zip lines. We also have a conference center, and we do all sorts of programs there, daily programs. We have our and resident music artists. There's nothing like this place in the world. And the Creation Museum, which was built before that, actually is a whole walk through the Bible, planetarium, 4D theater, and so on. So these attractions are doing something instead of us going out there to reach people in a sense, and we still do that through conferences, speaking, other means, but we're bringing people into these attractions. They come from all over the world, actually. And at 30% non-Christian will come. People will come to these attractions that don't go to church, and these attractions are the quality of Hollywood. I mean, every bit the quality, I think, better than even Disney. So they're very unique, and they're in Northern Kentucky.
Well, praise God. If anybody wants more details on how they can visit the Ark Encounter, go to arkencounter.com, arkencounter.com, and we will try to remember to repeat that at the end of the program, even after Ken has left the program. You have this new book that is not on the subject directly of creationism. It is... on a problem or a dilemma that is something that has been considered by mankind for as long as mankind has been writing anything down, and obviously even before that. But the divine dilemma, wrestling with the question of a loving God in a fallen world, that is likely one of the most used excuses for individuals to throw in the face of a Christian when being evangelized, and when their heels are being dug in and they are looking for any excuse to shut that evangelical Christian up, it is, how could a loving God allow such indescribable inhumanity and evil in this world? And of course, not only that, but you even have Christians on occasion who go through a crisis of faith. They may be going through the worst trial that they've ever experienced in their lives, and they may be even starting to wonder that. Tell us, first off, your very most profound thought on this very worldwide and ageless question.
Well, you know, Chris, you said that it's not about, you know, the typical creation evolution issue, age of Earth and so on. But it does relate to all of that. And that's the point, because Genesis 1 to 11 is the foundation for everything. And here's a point to start with. If people do not believe Genesis 1 to 11 is literal history, and sadly, many of our Christian leaders don't, and many people in our churches don't, then you're not going to answer this question correctly. You're not going to have the foundation for the answer. So the first thing is, you've got to start with the history in Genesis 1 to 11 that is foundational to all doctrine. It's foundation to the rest of the Bible, to our Christian worldview. It's foundational to everything, actually. And when you start with that foundational history in Genesis, you realize death is an intrusion because of sin. In other words, the first thing we have to understand is God's not responsible for death and suffering. We are, because we sinned in Adam against a holy God. And, you know, that's an important point, because we have generations today who have been indoctrinated to believe in millions of years, that there was millions of years of death and disease and suffering leading up to man. And sadly, the majority of our Christian leaders, Christian college professors, academics, pastors in our churches have told people, you can believe in millions of years and doesn't matter. If you believe in millions of years and all the death and suffering we see today and disease has gone on for millions of years, then it's God's fault. And then what you're really saying is God's to blame for that. The Bible makes it very clear it's our sin that's to blame. That's why Jesus died on the cross. In fact, if you're saying God's responsible for death and disease, it's really an attack on the character of God. Then what did sin do? Then why did Jesus die on a cross? So we've got to get this part right before we even deal with this question of understanding a loving God and the death and suffering we see. And you know, in the fossil record, there's not just death. We see fossils, but there's evidence of diseases like cancer. Those who believe in millions of years believe all that existed before man. And Christians who then take the millions of years and add it into the Bible then have cancer before man, before sin. But after God made man, he said everything he made was very good. There was no death or disease or suffering. In the New Testament, death is called an enemy. And one day death is going to be thrown into a lake of fire. And the Bible tells us there'll be a restoration of all things things when there'll be no more death and no more tears, no more suffering. So the first thing we have to understand is what Romans 8 tells us. This is a groaning world because of our sin. And then we can stand back and then start to think about the question, okay, God is a loving God. If he's a loving God, why does he allow us to go through all this? I mean, death was the penalty for sin. We deserve nothing. Because we rebelled against a holy God, we don't even deserve to exist. But God placed upon us the curse of death, the judgment of death. Our bodies die. But he did that so that he could come and rescue us. And he stepped into history in the person of his son to die on a cross and be raised from the dead so we can spend eternity with him. And that's why it says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. Because death is a judgment for sin, but through death, Christ brings us life, eternal life with him for those who put their trust in him. And, you know, this particular book is a very, very unique book, I believe, because it's written from a perspective of myself and my mother as we're grappling with the death of my younger brother. My mother had to go through the death of my father when he was fairly young, at 66 years old. She passed away when she was 92, actually. And I had a younger brother who was quite a number of years younger than me, and he ended up with a terrible brain disease. It was horrible, the things that happened to him, and just to see him lose his ability to speak and teach. He was a great Bible teacher, stood on the Word of God. And I remember my mother even saying things like, you know, the liberal pastor down the street that teaches against the Bible, he's as healthy as an ox, but my son who loved God and loved his Word, he look what's happening to him. And I reminded my mother, you know, Mom, yeah, even though Robert is got this horrible disease and he's going to die, well, that liberal pastor down the street's going to die. But when Robert does, he'll be totally healed, which he is now, totally healed. But if that liberal pastor doesn't repent of his sin and put his trust in Christ, he'll be separated from God for eternity. And, you know, we had to struggle through all these issues. And in the book, I talk about, you know, it's okay for us as Christians to grieve. It's okay to ask those questions. I mean, we still struggle. You know, why did God let that happen? He, you know, Robert left a family and he was so young. He was such a good Bible teacher. Don't we need more Bible teachers? You know, but we don't see things as God sees them. And I think the big lesson through the whole book and for people, this is a long way to answer the one question you asked me.
Oh, I love it.
The big lesson is really when you start to understand from a perspective of the book of Job. And you see, the book of Job, people say, well, isn't that about death and suffering and what happened to Job and what happened to his family? And we get a little insight at the beginning of the book that God allowed him to go through all of this. And, you know, his friends gave him all sorts of bad advice and so on, and trying to justify things in their own eyes and that sort of thing. And then even when Job started to talk to God about, you know, he was being a good man and he trusted God and so on. And then what happened? And this is the point, I think, where we need to come to this. All of us need to come to this position. When Job listened to God and God said, Job, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? It's interesting how God talks about the creation in particular. You know, what about these stars? Can you bind them together? Can you do this? Can you provide this? Can you explain how this works? And you go through Job 38, 39, 40, 41. And at the end, Job gets it. And he repents in dust and ashes, and he says, now I see you. You know all things. And I think, you know, the position we've got to come to is this. Just because from our perspective something doesn't make sense, or we can't see something good that could come out of it, or anything like that. Think about with Joseph. I mean, all sorts of evil things happened to Joseph and what his brothers did to him. And yet later on, you look back and say, wow, what they meant for evil, God meant for good. Or you could look at Queen Esther the same way. And I could even look back at my brother's death and realize, wow, this book that's been written about him, now there's hundreds of thousands, maybe millions more people. And with all the interviews I do, are going to hear about this, and God will reach more people through his death than even in his life. Maybe that's part of the purposes of God allowing him to go through all this. But the point is, we know nothing compared to what God knows. And just because we can't see everything and understand it all, doesn't mean God doesn't have some special purposes for those things. And God can take evil things and evil circumstances and use them for good. You know, you take what happened on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, it was an evil event. And even the disciples at the time couldn't even understand it. It didn't make sense. Even though the prophecies were there in the Old Testament, they didn't get it. It didn't make sense. And now we look back and say, wow, God used that evil event, the most evil event in history, you know, where they crucified the Son of God. And yet God used it for eternal things. Wow. And that's what we've got to do. It doesn't mean we don't grieve. It doesn't mean we don't struggle. We don't ask God those questions. And I go through that with my mother, and she never questioned her faith. She was always a great woman of faith and witness to people, but she struggled. And she struggled with these, as we all struggle, and still do to an extent. And it's okay to do that because we're human. We're finite. But we still have to come to that place where we let God be God. And that's the whole point. So it's a very unique book in that way. As I open myself up personally, a lot of personal circumstances, personal struggles, the things we went through, and yet looking at it from a big picture perspective. But you've got to start with the foundational history in Genesis 1 to 11. Until we get that right, we're not going to be able to get anything else right.
Amen. Well, I'm going to give our listeners our email address. If you have a question for Ken Ham, keep in mind he's only on the first 30 minutes of the program today. So if you do have a question, I would fire it off immediately because we're already over halfway through his segment of today's program. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com, ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. It's interesting that people would claim that this dilemma of there being a loving God in a fallen world somehow disproves the existence of God, as if this finite human being who must be aware of their limitations and impotence and frailties, how they could think that God does not exist just because his own demands of what must be required of God in his mind don't appear to be in existence. Isn't that an amazing thing that puny man would dare question the existence of God because they don't meet his requirements?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've talked to a lot of atheists over the years, a lot of secularists, and they will say things like, look, if there's a loving God, you know, how come he let these bad things happen? He's so unjust and so on. Well, the first thing I say to them is, wait a minute. If you're not a Christian and you don't believe in God, then on what do you base your standards? Why can you accuse something else of being unjust? Why could you accuse God of not doing something that's right? How do you determine what's good and what's bad? It's like, you know, in the New Testament, when that man came to Jesus and said, good master. And he said, why do you call me good? There's only one good, save God. And so really, you know, it's only from a Christian perspective that we know what is good and what is bad. And so for a non-Christian, they can't come and accuse God of being unjust or say, how can you believe in a loving God? Because they have no basis, no absolute basis for justice in that sense, for determining what's right and what's wrong, or what's good and what's bad. So that's the first thing that we need to understand. So it's only the Christian who can really understand about good and bad and what's evil and so on. And then we have to come to that understanding that there's one God who is the absolute authority, and it's God who determines what's right and what's wrong. And so it's only on that basis that we can even begin to understand these things. And, you know, in regard to the ultimate question of the origin of evil and so on, I mean, there's some of those part of those mysteries and understanding. We don't know everything. We do know that God gave Adam a choice, the first man. We do know that the devil was there and tempted Adam and Eve, and that Adam succumbed. And we know that Adam gets the blame for sin, right? Not the devil, because Adam brought sin and death into this world. We don't understand all there is to know about those sorts of things. We're not God. Only God understands. And one day when we're in heaven, maybe God will give us more understanding of those sorts of things. And maybe it's just something that we wouldn't even get if he explained it to us right now as, you know, as finite human beings. But regardless, what we've got to do as Christians is to understand who God is. He's a creator who is infinite in knowledge and wisdom. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. That's what we've got to remember. And the Bible is his word. And he's revealed to us all that we need to know about who we are, where we came from, what our problem is, sin, what the consequence is, death, and what the solution is in Jesus Christ. And, you know, for anything, when you look at any issue at all, and these days there are all sorts of issues, the abortion issue, the gay marriage issue, the racism issue, LGBT issue, it doesn't matter what it is, the death and suffering issue, they're all different symptoms of a problem of man trying to understand life and reality. And there's only one solution. It's the right foundation to understand all those, and that is the truth of God's word. And the solution is the saving gospel. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And that, to me, is something I put in the book in Luke 18. You know, the Tower of Siloam fell on people and killed 18. And Jesus said, were they worse sinners than others that they would die? And then he answered the question. He says, repent. So think about that. Why did these people die? And the answer is repent. In other words, everyone's going to die. So when someone says, why did that person die? And that's something else I talk about in the book. You know, people say, well, why did your brother die? But wait a minute, everyone's going to die. You're going to die. Everyone's going to die. And what was Jesus' answer to that with the Tower of Siloam? Repent. In other words, make sure you're ready, because your turn will come. And make sure that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Before I go to a listener question, I vividly recall when I arranged a debate between Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who's one of the speakers along with you at the upcoming G3 conference, and the man who was at the time the president of American Atheists, the organization founded by Madeline Murray O'Hare. Dr. White was challenging David Silverman on how he can come up with a list of rules that would reflect whether someone is good or evil. In fact, the very theme of the debate was, is the New Testament evil? And David Silverman said that evil is determined by whatever the vast majority of people in a particular region of the world at a particular time in history deem to be evil. So James White said, and keep in mind, David Silverman is an atheist Jew. He's ethnically Jewish. James White said, so if you were being marched into the death camp of Dachau or Auschwitz, the worst complaint that you could summon up was not that this is evil, but I find this personally offensive. And David Silverman actually had to admit, yes. He could not say that was evil.
It's all subjective. And therefore, people can have different rules and determine different definitions of good and bad. And that's what happens when you build your thinking on man's word. Anything goes. Moral relativism.
And we have our first listener question. Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina. Greetings, brothers. One of the biggest problems I see in the church today is that it seems most Christians don't know the attributes of our God. Because of that, they fail to realize that he is sovereign and he sustains us. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. They don't understand the attributes of God. And you know what? They don't understand the holiness of God. They don't understand what sin has done. They don't understand how finite we are. You know, one of the problems we've got, if you go back to Genesis 3, 1 and 3, 5, when the devil tempted Adam and Eve, he said, did God really say? And then you can be like God. And our sin nature is really summed up in that we don't want to believe the word of God, and we want to be our own God. And we all have that sin nature. And so we have got to make sure we don't let sin master over us. And I think today, a lot of people, because they haven't been taught Genesis 1 to 11 is literal history, they don't understand the origin of sin, the origin of death. They don't understand how we rebelled against a holy God. Then they don't understand the holiness of God. They don't understand what it means that we are sinner, that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And they don't really understand who God is. That's why we've got to be, and I keep coming back to Job. We've got to be like Job. Every one of us needs to come and recognize we know nothing compared to what God knows. He's the infinite creator God. We know nothing compared to what he knows, and we need to let him speak to us and not us tell God what we think he means.
Thank you, Grady. You've just won a free copy of Divine Dilemma. Thanks to our friends at Master Books who have given us a limited number of copies to give away to listeners who ask questions. And so please make sure we have your full mailing address and Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. We'll ship that out to you. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, I don't know how many people today remember Rabbi Kushner's book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. But does that book have any influence on the church today, in your opinion?
You know, I don't really know whether it has a lot of impact. I mean, I know of the book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. But I will say this. I think what has had a great influence on much of the church today is a lack of biblical teaching.
Right.
There's a famine in the land. Hosea says, my people suffer from a lack of knowledge. And there's been a lack of teaching in regard to Genesis 1 to 11, which is the foundation for all doctrine, for everything. I think that is what's had the impact on the church today.
You know, it's interesting that even though most evangelicals, at least, I'm quite confident that many liberals would still agree with Rabbi Kushner, putting limitations on God, like God would stop pain and suffering if he could. That was Rabbi Kushner's answer, that God couldn't do those things. But there are many evangelicals that have a similar heresy in that they remove God's involvement from any kind of human suffering. In fact, I worked for a radio station, a major radio station, during the tragedy, the horrific attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon building on 9/11. And there were many evangelicals trying to give comfort to our listeners with brief sermonettes. And they were saying, don't listen to the lie of the devil that God had anything at all to do with this. Isn't that an equally dangerous concept of God, as if he is just observing things and sitting passively by?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, God is totally in control of everything. He is God. He's sovereignly in control of all things. I mean, in verse from Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. But then it says, for them who love the Lord, in other words, for Christians. And we have got to recognize that God is in control of everything. There's nothing that happens that he doesn't allow that he is in control of, because he is. He's the sovereign God. And so when we look at these things, we say, but that's so evil. Why would God allow that? Well, why did he allow what happened to Joseph? Why did he allow what happened to, you could even start to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, and Esther, and you can go through them, and you can see, why did God even allow his son to be crucified on the cross? As we said earlier, isn't that an evil event? Of course it was a terrible evil event, and yet God's purposes were fulfilled in the salvation of man through that evil event. So, no, God is in control of everything. He is God. That's, again, it's the lesson that Job learned. He felt we have to fall down in dust and ashes and say, even though I don't understand everything, and I can't because I'm a finite being, I have to let God be God. He's in control of everything.
Well, we are out of time. We do have more people waiting to have their questions asked and answered, but Virgil Walker will have to answer your questions on the same theme, because we are continuing the same theme of Divine Dilemma. And I want you to summarize as briefly as you can what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about this book.
You know, one of the things I want people to understand is that You know, the issue of how do you understand a loving God and all the death and suffering and disease is, first of all, beginning and understand the problem that we have. The problem that we are finite beings, that we are sinners, that we sinned against a holy God, and that death and suffering is not God's fault, it's our fault, because we rebelled against a holy God. I think we've got to understand what sin is, what our sin is, the holiness of God, and then to stand back and understand God is in control of everything. We deserve nothing, and yet he provided the solution for us in Jesus Christ. And while we're on this earth, we're going to go through the pain of having diseases and death, because we're not above the consequences of sin. We have to suffer those consequences of sin, and yet God is in control of all of that, and through that, God has provided a wonderful way of salvation for us. And even though we might not understand the things that are happening around us, or happening to us, or happening to others, we have to stand back and look from a big picture perspective, as Job did, and recognize God is God. He's in total control. Nothing happens outside of his control. And he does allow evil things to happen for his own purposes. And sometimes we can look back and see them, as we can look back on the cross and see that, or on Esther, or on Joseph and others. Sometimes we can't, and maybe we won't until we get to heaven. But regardless, we've got to let God be God. And that's where it stands.
Amen. Virgil Walker has just joined us, the Executive Director of Operations at G3 Ministries. Would you like to say a quick greeting to Ken Ham, Virgil? And I guess Virgil stepped away from his seat. Well, it has been an honor and privilege, again, to have you return to our program, Ken. I really look forward to your return visits, and I will promote anything that comes from your labors and your pen. Because I have nothing but the highest confidence that you are accurately and faithfully representing God's truth in this modern world.
Thanks, Chris. That's very special of you, and I look forward to talking with you again.
And Virgil, can you want to say a brief greeting to Ken?
No, just thank you, Ken Ham, for your ministry. It's been a blessing to me and so many others. So we're looking forward to having you at the G3 conference.
Hey, I look forward to being there. We'll see you there. Okay.
All right. God bless you, Ken.
Bye-bye.
And don't forget about the website for Ken and Answers in Genesis. It's answersingenesis.org, answersingenesis.org, and we will give you more details about the other events and things that Answers in Genesis offers toward the end of our interview with Virgil Walker. And we're going to continue this theme, as I said before, with Virgil Walker when we return from our first commercial break. If anybody has a question for Virgil on the very theme that we started with Ken, Divine Dilemma, wrestling with the question of loving of a loving God in a falling world, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back with Virgil Walker, so don't go away.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Omega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio the mind-blowing opportunity to receive 100% of any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, as long as that listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making their purchase. So if you're purchasing something that they already have in stock, a piece of jewelry valued at $100 or more at royaldiadem.com, or if you're having a custom designed piece of jewelry created, please go to royaldiadem.com soon, because we have no idea when they're going to discontinue this wonderful offer where we get 100% of the profits. That's royaldiadem.com. Mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And now we have joining us Virgil Walker, author, executive director of operations at G3 Ministries, and co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, along with Daryl Bernard Harrison. And we are continuing the theme that Ken Ham began in the first half hour, Divine Dilemma, wrestling with the question of a loving God in a fallen world. It's great to have you on the program again, my dear friend Virgil Walker.
Man, it's always a joy to be with you, Chris. Glad to have the opportunity.
Yes, and I am so blessed by God that during our last interaction at the conference in Black Mountain, North Carolina, that during downtime, I got to know you and your lovely wife so much better because of the fact that it was more of an informal fellowship that we were able to enjoy than ever before. And please send my warm greetings in Christ to her, and I look forward to sharing fellowship with the both of you again very soon.
Yeah, we look forward to it, man. We had a great time. Miss Tamika is an experience for sure. That's my dear bride, and she sends her greetings to you. She's always excited to know that I'm going to be on and that I'll be with you, and mentioned to make sure that I greeted you as well. So we both enjoyed our time with you at the conference. It was great.
Praise God. Well, tell us now about the upcoming G3 conference, the next national conference, which is being held again in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely amazing. I'm just going through the final details. We just crossed the 60-day mark, so we're counting down the days, and 2 months out, a little less than 2 months out from the event. It's going to be, I really believe it's going to be the event of the year. There's no other place that you can go and see this many world-class preachers in one space, in one place, at one time, all on the theme of the sovereignty of God. And it's going to be an amazing, amazing experience. Some of the best, as you know, guests you've had on your show, those that you and I both have admired for quite some time, the likes of Paul Washer, Dr. Bodie Bauckham, Stephen Lawson, James White, you mentioned him earlier, Josh Bice, Ken Ham will be there as well. Just a robust roster of just some of the best and the best preaching, some of the greatest theologians that we have to offer. And so I'm excited about it. It's going to be an amazing time. Add all of that to all of the other events that are going to be happening around that are geared for family. It'll be a tremendous, tremendous time, and it will be something that most won't want to miss. Right now, we're trending about a little over about 7,200 are registered as of right now. We anticipate a full house of 8,500 coming up here in September, and September 21st through the 23rd. This will be the event not to miss. And so definitely go online, go to g3min.org to register. And I think you have a code, don't you?
Yes, G3ISIR, G3ISIR, and you'll get 30% off the registration fee. So please use that promo code for the discount of 30% off. That's G3ISIR, which stands for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And not only is Ken Ham, our first guest today, going to be on the roster, but Bodie Bauckham, Paul Washer, Phil Johnson, James White, Justin Peters, James Coates, the pastor in Canada who was arrested for refusing to shut down during the COVID crisis. My guest right now, Virgil Walker, and his partner on the Just Thinking podcast, Daryl Bernard Harrison. And many more. And we hope that you will join us there. And again, the website is g3men.org, and use promo code G3ISIR. And one thing that's very encouraging to me about your conference is that I am hearing from more and more Christians who are outside of our theologically reformed, sovereign grace, Calvinistic circles, who are discovering the G3 conference. They're hearing about it, and they're excited about it. They want to come to it. And I know that must have something to do with the fact that you don't only have the doctrines of the sovereignty of God, which is the main theme this year,
right?
But you
right.
have addressed so many other issues in, yeah. in the history of the conference that they have been something that has been bringing about exuded enthusiasm and excitement in the minds and hearts of many crossing denominational lines.
Yeah, we've been in a lot of spaces. Myself, Dr. Josh Bice, our executive vice president, Scott Annual. We've been in so many different spaces talking about different issues, culturally related and otherwise. I mean, you've been a tremendous help in helping us amplify our voice in some of those spaces. And because of those opportunities, I've had the wonderful opportunity of being a commentator on the podcast with Jason Whitlock called Fearless.
Wow.
And so because of my regular appearances in that space and in a variety of other spaces, definitely to include this one here, folks who are outside of quote unquote reformed circles are hearing about our commentary, are hearing about a biblical worldview, a robust biblical worldview, and how it interacts with culture, and they're wanting more. So they begin to look us up. They look up the names and identify with what we're doing. And I think that's a big part of the exponential growth that we're seeing. And we hope it continues, because as you and Ken were talking about earlier, and as we've often mentioned on the show, there's such a need for sound biblical doctrine, for people to understand theology, and not just from a philosophical point of view, but from a standpoint of how does theology and our understanding of God interact with the day-to-day application, the idea of just having practical theology, theology that walks with you every day. Is something that I think people are absolutely hungry for. And so we're proud here at G3 to represent that in such a way that people are taking notice.
Yes, and it is no exaggeration, no hyperbole that, in my opinion and in my experience, the G3 conference is my very favorite conference of all. And there are so many reasons why, not only because of the powerful, dynamic, brilliant, gifted speakers, but also the opportunity for me as a radio and podcast host to not only meet many, many, many people who love the show that I've never heard from before, who approach me at my booth, but also to see face-to-face people who have written in many questions over the years, who I've never met before. And I've also met very valuable people who are business owners and members of industry, and also who are pastors and people who run parachurch organizations, who have wound up supporting this program financially. So there are just so many reasons why I love G3, and the fellowship is something that is most lasting in my mind that I will cherish forever.
Yeah, there are two aspects to the G3 conference, and I think you hit it well. One is the aspect of the phenomenal preaching that you're going to hear, the teaching that will be in the breakouts, some of the best of the best and speakers and preachers and leaders and theologians who will be there, who will participate. That's one aspect of it. The other, and it's multifaceted. It's not just twofold, but the other is the fact that, you know, the fellowship that you have with people that more times than not you've perhaps met online or through social media, maybe you've had interactions with, who are then there. So you have the excitement and joy of seeing a world-class, a world-famous preacher, but then there's kind of this other bubble that happens with a lot of these folks who are social media influencers and maybe have a podcast and the like. Who others may not know so well, but have the opportunity to meet with, connect with, learn about their ministry, and thank them for what they've provided in the way of clarity on the scriptures.
Amen. Well, once again, g3men.org is the website to register and to also just to find out more about the conference, g3men.org. And please, if you're registering, use promo code G3ISIR for 30% off the registration fee. We're going to our midway break right now, and when we return, we will dive right into the subject that we began with Ken Ham, the subject of his book, Divine Dilemma. And if you have a question regarding the fact that mankind wrestles with the question of a loving God in a fallen world, send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And I can well imagine that a subject like this, because it involves human suffering and pain, I can well imagine that some of our listeners may be sending in anonymous questions, and we will grant you your request to remain anonymous. Please be patient with us, folks. This is the longer than normal break in the middle of the show, because Grace Life Radio requires of us a longer break in the middle, because the FCC requires of them to localize this program geographically to Lake City, Florida, with their own public service announcements and other things that are local. And while they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. So please try to respond to as many of our advertisers as possible so that they will know that their money is well spent on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And once again, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We'll be right back with Virgil Walker, so please do not go away.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents
The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
A blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
J.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget, folks, make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. That's solid-ground-books.com. Visit there frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Zion Radio. Before I return to Virgil Walker, I just have a couple of very important announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address at your post office, there will be a physical address that appears on your screen also when you click support at ironsharpensionradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, business, private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or just a special event you want to promote, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And as long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly. Keep in mind, folks, please always remember, I never want anybody in our audience giving less money to your own church in order to give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a financial gift. Do not cut into the money that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving for your own church in order to send us a check. Please, never do that. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you are more stable financially before you send us a financial gift. The Bible clearly commands that we provide for church and family. Providing for this radio show is obviously not a command, but if you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, please, if you have extra money above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, extra money collecting interest in the bank, extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you want us to stick around. Go to ironsharpensionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where in the world you live, I may be able to help you find a church like I have done with many listeners in our audience all over the world. even at times within minutes from where they live. So if you need help finding a good biblically faithful church, send me an email at chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest today, Virgil Walker, and we are continuing the subject that Ken Ham began in the beginning of the program, Divine Dilemma, wrestling with the question of a loving God in a fallen world. Virgil, is this not what very often in your own conversations with lost people especially, is this not what comes up as a defense from that person to basically to shut you up?
Yeah. It really does. It's, you know, more times than not, what I come to find in my interactions with others, whenever we're talking about the gospel or there's an evangelistic proclamation of the gospel being presented, what normally happens is people use the idea of evil in the world as a, you know, as a shield against the acknowledgement of God's existence. You know, the problem with doing that, and Ken mentioned it in the first segment, is that their thought process is that they don't have to explain the same phenomenon. If you don't believe in a God, and you think everything that happens in the world is due to natural causes, you still, based upon that worldview, have to explain why there is indeed evil in the world. You're first going to have to explain it from a standpoint of having a standard by which to judge that anything evil. And then secondarily, you're going to have to explain what your God, if you will, is going to do about that. And primarily, people are appealing to the God of self. The further thing that I'll say about that, Chris, is what we're seeing in our culture is the appeal to the God of self is having tremendous, you know, ramifications, implications. You think about what we're dealing with currently in our culture with everything, and Ken mentioned it as well, everything from issues about sexuality to issues related to gender, to issues related to race and the like. All of these stem from the fact that people have ignored what God has declared about these issues, have determined that their standard will be their own personal subjective feelings. And it will be by that standard that they judge the world. But they want to pick up a Christian standard when they approach you in an effort to blame God for that which they've really been the cause of, the evil that has permeated the world and the culture due to sin. So that's what's really happening.
Well, we do have an anonymous listener who says, "I'm remaining anonymous to not unnecessarily offend a dear friend who is an atheist who I have been involved with on an ongoing battle over the issue of the existence of God. Doesn't Romans 1 rule out the possibility that atheists even exist? Aren't those who are professing to be atheists really masquerading as such because they're really suppressing the truth that nature provides a minimum amount of evidence that we are held responsible for God?" Romans 1 doesn't say that nature provides sufficient evidence for salvation, but right, it leaves us without excuse.
Absolutely it does. I mean, that's the clear text of the scripture, the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who suppress the truth. What can be known about God is plain to us, because God has shown it to us. His invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature are clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things have been made, so that men are without excuse. This is the primary text that lets us know that there are indeed no atheists, right? There's no such thing as an atheist. What we have, according to this scripture, are people who are suppressing the truth about God that they clearly know. that they're clearly aware of based upon the general revelation that God has provided in created order. Ken Ham and all of what they do at the Creation Museum, they spend their lives examining this, exposing this, and making clear the beauty of and majesty of our Creator. We all know that He exists. This is sufficient knowledge to condemn us. But Chris, you're absolutely right. It is insufficient knowledge to provide salvation for us. But it does point to God's existence, to the reality that He is. And it is indeed the special revelation that we have from the Word of God through the person and work of Jesus Christ and through the proclamation of the gospel that we come into a knowledge of salvation.
Yes, and by the way, Anonymous, if you give me your full mailing address through an email, I obviously won't divulge that on the air, and your full name, you will receive a free copy of the book that we are addressing by Ken Ham, Divine Dilemma, Wrestling with the Question of a Loving God and a Fallen World. Let me ask you about that very question that was asked of the audience member. What do you think? We're not prophets. We're not mind readers. Only God can actually know infallibly the hearts and minds of men. Well, what is going on in the mind of a person that professes to be an atheist? I mean, are they actually faking being an atheist, or in their brain, have they suppressed the truth so much that they've driven out of their mind any thought that there is a possibility God exists? Or again, to repeat myself, is this just a faked profession?
Yeah, my thought would be that many that I've ever talked to truly believe, they truly have deceived themselves into believing that God does not exist. For them, primarily, it is a convenience that allows them to avoid the accountability that they would have if they acknowledge God's existence. It allows them to enjoy their sin, to be far removed, at least and from a standpoint of their conscious mind, to be far removed from any judgment of God or from God. But the reality is that very condition is evidence of the fact that they've indeed already been judged. That same text of scripture that we were reading from in Romans 1 says that when someone does that, when they suppress that truth and unrighteousness, God gives them up to the lusts of their flesh. God gives them over to a depraved mind, and God eventually gives them over to do those things which shall not be done. The scripture is absolutely clear about these things. And so witnessing someone who is so self-deceived that they begin to utter things like God does not exist is not a good thing. It's something that they should be very concerned about, because it's a reflection of the fact that they are indeed walking out God's judgment. The only hope that they would have would be that they would hear the proclamation of the gospel and that the Spirit of God would awaken their hearts and minds to the reality that is God's existence.
Well, we have another listener. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. And Ronald asks, one thing that I have heard in response to people who are going through enormous agonizing pain or suffering, both those that deny the existence of God and even professing Christians who are experiencing something more weighty and agonizing than they have ever experienced before. They say if God is really a God of love and is even more loving than humans, why is He permitting agony in such a level that humans would not, if they are loving parents, loving spouses, loving brothers and sisters, loving children? We would not sit by idly and allow somebody to be agonizing and torturous pain if we could stop it.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And it's the kinds of question that causes a lot of people great pause. I think we begin with understanding something that we ignore often in our current day and time. And that is the fact that God is sovereign. While we as human beings only see a moment in time, a sliver of eternity, we cannot know what God knows. God is sovereign over all things. He has the eternal view in mind. So as we witness people endure great suffering, and are heartbroken by it, and should do what we can, to rectify it, to see it end. God's in total and complete control. The worst of the worst kind of torture, of condemnation, of horror that we did witness would be the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man on a cross. That was witnessed and took place for the mere purpose of us coming into a saving knowledge of Christ and having eternal life. And so while we have a limited view, minute view of all of eternity, and though we may believe that the suffering that anyone is enduring could be more than they could bear and would do all that we could to rectify it, I have total faith and trust in God and his ability to see the entirety of the picture and have an understanding of why the horror or the tribulation is being endured by any particular individual. And the hope would be that suffering wouldn't end or wouldn't result in a complete devastation, but that God would have some redeeming purpose in the life of that individual or those who experienced that.
Well, Ronald, you've also won a free copy of the book we are discussing, Divine Dilemma. Make sure we have your full mailing address in Eastern Suffolk County, where cvbbs.com can ship that out to you. And we thank Master Books once again for providing us with these free copies. Before I move on to any listener questions, give some more of your thoughts about this ageless question that seems to be one of the most frequently asked questions, if not the most frequently asked question.
Yeah, I think it is. And again, it goes back to kind of what we were talking about earlier, which is the idea that, you know, there is suffering, people endure it. And so what is God to do about it? I think the last question was a great one, because I think it exposes kind of what most people think about God, that perhaps human beings, that you and I have a better view of how to care for others than God does, right? And so that's kind of the thought process. But we have to recognize that all of what we experience in this sin-filled world is the direct result of our forefathers' sin, right? Of Adam, who fell, of Eve, who was beguiled. And so when we start from that starting point, we recognize that it is not God who is to blame, but it is we ourselves. And so we endure suffering, we endure wickedness, we endure a fallen world as a direct result of the sin that entered the world through Adam. That's the culprit. That's the point at which that all takes place. God owes us nothing. God does not owe us a life free from sin, or rather a life free from hurt, harm, or danger. That is something that we experience based upon his divine grace. The suffering even that we experience is a direct result of his allowing those things to happen in order, scripture says, to conform us into the image of his son, recognizing that we can do nothing in and of ourselves and that we have a constant need to be connected to him. So all that we experience in suffering is for the very purpose of conforming us into the image of Christ.
Amen. And do we not, or should I say, must we not as Christians be extremely careful not to, with well or good intentions, unconsciously begin to mimic Job's so-called friends? Sometimes we want nothing more, when somebody is lying there in agony, to use that as an opportunity to pontificate, be overbearing in our perhaps judgment of the person, or and it could also be a reverse. So I'll get to the reverse after you answer this question about being like mm-hmm. Job's friends. But the reverse is where you say nothing about a person's sin and you tell them, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. This is not your fault, all that kind of thing. But if you could, tell us about the first issue of being like Job's friends and speaking too much during a time of crisis like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's spot on. That, you know, if those who are familiar with the book of Job, it was a book written very early in the canon of scripture. And so it's one that tells us, gives us a clear idea about what we may endure as a result of suffering, something that God may allow. God allowed Satan to deal with Job in this way for the purpose of one, our benefit. We benefited from what Job went through, as we have the opportunity to read, what he walked through as it pertains to what the scriptures have to say. I think you make a great point, is that we can claim that we know more than we do about anyone's given situation and begin to pontificate about things we don't know. Even Job, you know, he blamed God. I mean, kind of some of the language that we've endured or encountered during our time together kind of exposes what people think in those ways. Like, what's wrong with God? Why wouldn't he care for me? Why wouldn't he do this for me? And we can get in that kind of a mindset. I love the book of Job. I read it almost every year. I love chapter 38 when Job, who has required audience with God, actually has God answer, and God answers Job from a whirlwind, and he asks the question, who is this that is darkened counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man, and I will question you, and you make it known to me. And then he begins a litany of questions. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? God is walking Job through the idea that he is not in a position to question God, but rather God is the one who is in control, sovereignly so, and that we have every responsibility to bow the knee to him.
Amen. And let's see here. We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who has a question. Is it not very wrong for us to assume when we are trying to comfort someone that we know how they feel? Because even though we may have experienced something nearly identical in regard to the loss of a spouse, a loved one, a divorce, a death in the family, anything that we can come up with. At the same time, people are individuals. Their relationships are unique, and the way they respond to them are unique.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great question. And you know, it shows the sensitivity that we should all have. I had a situation just the other day. My own son had dealt with an issue and with some friends and felt a bit betrayed by a certain situation. Watching him become emotional about this, I recognized I had been through something very similar. But rather than leaning into the idea, I know exactly how you feel, I simply positioned myself in a space where I was there for him, to comfort him, to provide support for him, to pray for him, and to be there if he needed someone to talk to. It's more important for that to take place than it is for you to declare that you know exactly how they feel, because you may not, and those words don't often provide the comfort that you believe they provide.
Amen. We're going to our final break right now, and if you do intend to get in line and ask a question of Virgil Walker, I would urge you please to do so immediately, because we are rapidly running out of time. Again, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Virgil Walker after these messages from our sponsors.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th,
in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Omega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org. Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, that the new website for Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey is gcbc-nj.org. gcbc-nj.org. Please disregard the website you heard in that commercial.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. We are now in the final segment of our interview with Virgil Walker, and we are continuing our discussion of the divine dilemma, wrestling with the question of a loving God in a fallen world. And that seems to be a major problem as well with the understanding of man and too much of Christianity. They really don't look at man as fallen. They look at man as behaving badly through learned experience. As the old saying goes, is it nurture or nature? They don't really believe in the total depravity of man. They may believe that man is somehow wounded, but he still has enough inner light where he can live a wonderful and just a life that blesses the entire community surrounding him or her. And they really don't understand the depth of evil, do they?
No, they absolutely don't. I mean, Ephesians chapter 2 is a clear indication of the depravity of man. As we kind of open the page, we have Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he clearly states that when he examined the condition of man, what he found was that we were dead in our sins and trespasses in which we once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is in that is in the hearts of those who are disobedient. We, like all, were children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, deserving of God's wrath. Romans chapter 5 tells us that through one man, sin enters the world, and death through sin, so that death spread to all men because all sinned. We have an unrealized or a lack of understanding, is probably the best way to say it, of what sin has actually done in the hearts of mankind. And as a result, what we have a tendency to believe is that evil is some force outside of us, that if God were to come back and eradicate evil in the world, that it would vanish and we would still be here. The reality is, if God were to vanquish evil from the earth, each and every one of us would be vanquished with that evil. And so for those who would love for God to come and you know, take all of the bad away, take all of the harm and hurt away, the vast majority of the hurt, harm, and danger is perpetrated on man by man. So when we have an understanding of that, we recognize that what God is displaying is his grace and mercy upon those of us who are wicked and evil, and that it is only through our understanding, acknowledgement, repentance, and faith in Christ, through the proclamation of the gospel, that we come into the light of truth that God has designed for those who love him.
Now, I hinted at this earlier, and I said I would come back to it, but I'll do that now. The reverse side of the person who just wants to use an opportunity when somebody is in their worst point of pain, suffering, and trial is to preach at them. The reverse side of that is the one who, even knowing theologically better, does nothing but comfort the person with false comfort. They do not bring up sin at all. Now keep in mind, I'm not a word of faith Pentecostal heretic who tells people who are ill or disabled that this is because they lack faith. Some of the most highly revered giants of the Christian faith died at young ages of various illnesses, including Robert Murray McShane, died at 29. One of the greatest Christian pastors, evangelists, and thinkers that walked the face of the earth. But at the same time, somebody's dying of AIDS and you're visiting them in the hospital, do you not mention anything about if they are not repenting and they're not acknowledging that they're there because of their sin? You know, we're not supposed to say anything. And it's not just that. Could be any other issue. Could be somebody dying of liver disease because they're an alcoholic, dying from drug abuse. You know, we could go on and on and on. Must we not be clear? And even with somebody who is dying without Christ, who is dying just from a common ailment that had nothing to do with a destructive lifestyle, there are even atheists who sometimes, in a arena and an area of health and fitness, are better specimens than many Christians are. So, but as far as that goes, when somebody is dying or in great pain and suffering without Christ, do we not have to bring up sin?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a necessity. The only hope that they actually have would be that God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, through the proclamation of the gospel, would illuminate their heart and mind to their need for Him, and that would only come as a result of hearing the message of the gospel. The gospel includes the fact that we are indeed sinners, who are in need of a savior. I think for the most part, you know, telling someone that they're a sinner or saying to someone that they're a sinner is really the only sin that can be committed these days. The reality is that scripture is clear that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that apart from a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we will all enter an eternity separated from him in hell.
Well, we've reached a point in the show where I want to make sure that you summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today regarding the subject, and also let's repeat to our listeners how they can register for the G3 conference.
Yeah, absolutely. You can jump onto G3Min, G3MIN.org, and get registered for the conference. It's going to be amazing, September 21st through the 23rd. You just won't want to miss this one. If you're even close to the area, you've got to get here. Go on to G3Min.org and get registered for the conference, and we look forward to seeing you there. But again, we will be talking about the sovereignty of God, and God is sovereign in all things, even in the fact that we experience evil. That evil is the result of our sin against the holy God, that same sin which separated us from him and subjects us, apart from repentance and faith, subjects us to an eternity separated from him. It is imperative that we know that Christ came, lived a perfect life, died a death he did not deserve on a Roman cross for the very purpose of saving sinners. If those of us would acknowledge that sacrifice, repent of our sin, place our full faith in his finished work and his finished work alone, we can apprehend eternal life. And so it would be my encouragement to all who are listening to do that very thing, to repent of their sin and place their full faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And please, folks, don't forget, when you're registering for the G3 conference, and I strongly urge you to register, because you are going to experience, I am confident, an event like you've never experienced in your life as a Christian in regard to special events such as this conference. Please go to g3min.org and use promo code G3ISIR, which stands for G3 Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, G3ISIR, and you'll get 30% off the registration fee. Also, I don't want you to forget, the week before the G3 conference, my dear friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha Mega Ministries, who is also speaking at the G3 conference, but the week before that, he is going to be involved in the Future of Christendom Conference right here in Pennsylvania in Lancaster at the Spooky Nook Sports and Events. Sounds like a weird place, but Spooky Nook is a beautiful facility that even the governor, or should, when the governor of Pennsylvania was in the last election race, I'm sorry. Well, he wasn't yet the governor. He was. He lost the race. But Doug Mastriano was running for governor. He used this facility for one of his major campaigns. It's a gorgeous facility, and the event is being held September 15th, 16th, and 17th. On September 16th, the conference includes a debate that Dr. James R. White is having with Dr. Gregory Coles, and the theme is: Is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? Dr. James R. White opposes that question, denies it, and Gregory Coles affirms it. So that will be a part of this 3-day conference, and you will also be served on Saturday lunch and refreshments as a part of your registration. And there will also be an invitation to attend the Sunday service the next day. Please go to futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org, to find out more about this and to register for this event. The sooner that you register, the less expensive your registration will be. That's September 15th, 16th, and 17th at Spooky Nook Sports and Events in Manheim, Pennsylvania, which is in Lancaster County. Well, Virgil, it has been such a wonderful pleasure to have you back on the program again. I look forward to your many return visits. I hope that we have many opportunities to speak on this program before the G3 conference, and I've interviewed most of the speakers that you have on the roster. There's just a few that I'm trying to get on that I haven't yet been able to interview that I hope I do. But thank you so much for blessing me and my audience with such a wonderful program today, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I look forward to the next time.
Me too. And I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.